taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans.
Helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were everyday Americans.
Our founding fathers here in this country brought about the only true revolution that has ever taken place in man's history. Every other revolution simply exchanged one set of rulers for another set of rulers. But only here did that little band of men so advanced beyond their time that the world has never seen their like since evolve the idea that you and I have within ourselves the God-given right and the ability to determine our own destiny. But freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free. Thank you.
If President Reagan was correct, if freedom is never more than one generation away, if we don't fight to maintain it, if freedom and liberty in America falls, where will you go?
Tell me, what nation in the world's history has so protected the individual rights of its citizens? Where else have you seen a government of the people, by the people, and for the people? Where in history have leaders pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to the cause of independence and liberty? Where have so many millions risked everything for the dream of living free? While some Americans call for the destruction of our liberties and so many more sit back and watch it happen, have any of us considered what would happen if freedom, liberty, and individual rights are allowed to continue their downward slide into oblivion? We get glimpses of what life will be like in America if we, the people, do not take up our responsibility and return the rule of law to our governments and our society. Oregon's Governor Kate Brown is pushing plans to create a vaccine passport system and to require businesses, employers, and houses of worship to demand proof of vaccination to enter without a mask. New York and Washington states have plans to create segregated seating at different events based on a person's vaccine status. While governors of both states planned segregated seating at outdoor stadiums, Washington Governor Inslee's plan would extend that to graduation ceremonies and churches as well. If that stick isn't enough to get people to comply with the government's obsession with an experimental vaccine, states and cities around the country are using bribery as a carrot to encourage compliance. Ohio started with five $1 million lotteries. And so far, Minnesota and Los Angeles are offering chances for cash and prizes to those who submit. Schools from elementary to university are requiring that children take this experimental vaccine in order to attend class, even in the face of mounting evidence that they don't need it. Government and private schools alike are using our children as guinea pigs for human testing on the vaccine, while more and more reports of serious adverse side effects, including death, are being reported to the CDC. No one seems to care that the constitutions of the states in the United States forbid such mandates. No one is being charged for depriving people of their constitutionally protected rights, which is, by the way, a federal crime. It seems the American people are not only ignorant of the supreme law of the land, they are unaware that their rights are disappearing before their eyes. If that isn't bad enough, a recent Gallup poll found that 57% of Americans support requiring proof of vaccination to board an airplane, and 55% for attending events like concerts, shows, or live sporting events. So it is not just governments that are coming for your liberty. It appears half the American people are as well. Now, the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution of the United States says, quote, "No person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law." From the lockdowns to mask mandates, Americans have been deprived their liberty and property without due process of law, described as a legal or governmental process designed to protect the rights of the individual. It seems many Americans are not only willing to suffer the deprivation of their rights, but stand there like a fraternity pledge, yelling, "Yes, sir, may I have another?" We have let unelected bureaucrats act like petty potentates, determining who can go where, when, and how. We have watched while people were arrested for the crime of being outside without a mask, even though that offense cannot legally be called a crime since most were imposed by executive diktat. Even those established by law are void since they violate the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States. Many Americans have abdicated their freedom to live at the whim of the CDC, mayors, and governors. They let the bureaucrats tell them how to live, often in direct contradiction to their own evidence, and wait with bated breath for word from the bureaucrats at the CDC, their state houses and city halls, for the privilege of exercising their right to be at liberty in public. If that irony doesn't make you question the state of liberty in America, I don't know what would. Yet even today, with all the evidence that COVID-19 is only truly dangerous to a small demographic in America, that going unmasked does not spread the virus, and that medications are readily available to treat the disease, you will find people going out of their way to challenge those daring to live free from the tyranny of mask mandates. Does anyone else find it strange that those who are so afraid of you being unmasked may somehow make their masks and vaccines ineffective, will get closer than the 6-foot recommendation to tell you so? Are we free in America when our neighbors are willing to call the police for living our lives while endangering no one? There was a time in this country when people were proud to say, "I vehemently disagree with what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it." Today, disagreement is frequently met not only with derision, but with attempts to destroy the dissenter. Doxing, cyberbullying, and attempts to get people fired all seem to be a common response to disagreement. Liberty does not mean always winning the argument. It means allowing others their point of view and only restraining them when they actually harm someone. And no, hurting your feelings is not actual harm. We used to learn this as children. We would sing, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." We have so allowed generations to be infantilized into believing that reality will morph into their desired form that they expect others to indulge their fantasies. They've been indoctrinated with the idea that they can never be wrong, that thinking something is true makes it so, and that they have the right to demand that others comply with their wishes. Freedom of speech, press, and religion are all being suppressed in America today, not simply by government, but by crying children throwing temper tantrums expecting to get their way. Liberty cannot exist in a land where the right to be different is not protected. I was speaking to a group of college students not that long ago. Now, during the Q&A, one student made what I think is an interesting statement. He asked, "What was the big deal with infringing on people's rights if it's going to do the right thing? After all," he said, "with all the infringements, society hasn't collapsed." Now, one of the advantages that comes with age, I told the student, is experience, which leads to perspective. I pointed out the examples of riots and looting, cancel culture leading to suppression of free speech and even free thought, plus the fact that we were meeting online because government said we couldn't meet in person. These are just a few examples of how society had collapsed. But given a few minutes to think about it, I could have come up with many more. Why do I think this story is important? Because it shows how close we are to liberty dying in America. We are witness to the fundamental change of America, a change from the land of the free to the land of the safe.
In order to ensure the security and continuing stability, the Republic will be reorganized into the First Galactic Empire for a safe and secure society.
This is how liberty dies, with thunderous applause.
That is how liberty dies, not with a bang, but with applause. Liberty dies when we change from the land of the free to the land of the safe, from the land of liberty and individual rights to one of subjugation and collective duty. Gone are the days of John F. Kennedy, who said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." Today, everyone seems to be looking for what their government will do for them. And as that young college student showed me, Liberty is now a strange and foreign concept to the rising generation. Live and let live has become anathema to those who will inherit the nation we leave to them. After two centuries of people coming to America for their chance of freedom, what happens next? The most famous words of the poem on the Statue of Liberty are, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." What happens when there is no more freedom for those poor huddled masses to breathe? Where do we go for liberty and freedom when it falls in America? The answer, I'm afraid, is nowhere. Liberty will be gone. A distant memory, a fable told to children by the few left who remember it. Yes, it appears freedom has been abandoned by many in America, but that does not have to be the end of the story. As Ronald Reagan said, freedom must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. We can fight for liberty. We can, as John Jay told us, read and study the Constitution, recognize when our rights are being violated, and be better prepared to defend and assert them. We too can hear the call of Captain John Parker at the Battle of Lexington. Stand your ground. Don't fire unless fired upon. But if they mean to have war, let it begin here. Freedom will not survive in America unless those of us who still cherish it are willing to fight for it. We cannot do it alone. As Benjamin Franklin said after signing the Declaration of Independence, we must all hang together, or assuredly, we shall all hang separately. It will not be quick, and it will not be easy. But if freedom is to remain not just in this country, but in the world, then we must fight for it. As his father was losing his fight against blindness, Dylan Thomas wrote a famous poem. As we fight against the loss of our freedom, let us rage against the dying of the light of liberty. Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. The wise men at their end know dark is right. Because their words had forked no lightning then, do not go gentle into that good night. Good men, the last wave by, crying how bright, their frail deeds might have danced in a green bay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Wild men who caught and sang the sun in flight and learned too late they grieved it on its way. Do not go gentle into that good night. Grave men nearing death who see with blinding sight, blind eyes could blaze like meteors and be gay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. And you, my father, there on the sad height, curse, bless me now with your fierce tears, I pray. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light.
George Washington said in his first inaugural address, "And since the preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of the Republican model of government are justly considered as deeply, perhaps as finally staked, on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people." The light of that sacred fire of liberty is going dark. It's going out. And it's going out because we, the people, have not fought for it. We haven't read and studied our Constitution. We haven't taught the rising generation to be free, just as we were not taught to be free when we were that rising generation. And it concerns me, the nation, the country that I'm leaving to my daughter. A nation where freedom of speech and press and thought are considered secondary to the needs of the collective. Where your right to be at liberty without harming anyone must be subjugated to the whims, wills, and opinions of men and women who get government paychecks. When will we rage against the dying of the light of the sacred fire of liberty? When will the American people stand and in one voice rage against the dying of the light? When will we stand athwart our employees, our servants in government, and stand against the dying of the light? refusing to go into that good night of darkness and servitude and subjugation. We have seen its evidence. The 20th century was marred with the death of 100 million people from the idea of collectivism and that the government must rule its people. When will we rage against the dying of the light of freedom and liberty? We keep looking for someone else to stand for us, to stand up and do our job. It is not the job of the president. It is not the job of Congress. It is not the job of the government in Washington, D.C. or in your state house. It is your job to stand, to rage against the dying of the light, and to tell your friends, your family, your neighbors not to go off into that good night. The rising generation has been raised without freedom. They think it's normal for speech and press and religion and thought and conscience to be suppressed. They think freedom involves government restricting your rights if they can come up with a good reason. They have been, can I say, brainwashed. No longer free citizens, but subjects of their government. Is that the darkness we wish to leave to the next generation? Because if that is, if only a few of us are willing to stand and rage against the dying of the light of the sacred fire of liberty, how long can we hold back the tide? How long can difference be allowed in this country? Difference of thought, difference of ideas. How long, if we let that sacred fire of liberty be put out by the ignorance, in some cases by the machinations of those who desire power? How long will there still be light in America if its people won't stand up for it? When I wrote the article that I based this episode on, I was moved. I've been moved for years by that Ronald Reagan speech. The reminder that freedom is not the default state of man. Servitude is. Throughout most of our history, we have had kings and queens and emperors and pharaohs. We have had an aristocracy that ruled while the vast majority lived at their whim. The idea of freedom and liberty is contrary to the natural state of affairs. I know many don't believe that because you've grown up in a free country. I didn't believe it at first because I grew up in a free country. But as I learned how precious this is, how like any other system, there must be constant effort put into maintaining it. Whether that be the military protecting it or the citizens at home defending it. We must put effort into keeping that fire of liberty alive. Someone must gather the kindling and the wood. Someone must prepare it and make sure it is seasoned and ready to burn. And someone must lay those logs on that sacred fire if it is to remain burning. But it seems too many Americans can't be bothered. They have other things to do. They're worried about their jobs. They're worried about paying the mortgage. They're worried about some vacation they're taking. They're worried about, you know, what's going on with their kids' lives. We're worried about everything except the one thing we leave to our children that has inestimable value. The right to live free. When I was watching the Star Wars movies and I saw the scene that I played before of the Emperor saying, we will take control, we will destroy liberty to keep you safe. It resonated. I recognized it. I saw rights being trampled. And then for the last year and a half, as I've watched governors and mayors and presidents and bureaucrats at all levels telling me we have to take away your rights. We have to suspend your rights to keep you safe. That's not how you build the land of the free. It's how you build an empire. And now to see that half of Americans think you should be able to prove you've been vaccinated in order to attend events, that have been lied to believe that vaccines are there to protect others rather than to protect yourself, that you as a citizen have a right to force your neighbor to take an experimental drug to make you feel better, when it doesn't protect, it doesn't change your level of protection. I'm reminded of the scene from A Christmas Carol. My family watches it every year. We have a series of movies we watch every year between Thanksgiving and Christmas. We always watch Christmas Eve, A Christmas Carol, the one with George C. Scott. That's our favorite. And I'm reminded of the scene where Scrooge is covering up the truth with the first ghost. And the scene with the second ghost, where the truth is hidden. And I see the American people doing the exact same thing. To see young adults brainwashed into believing that government has the right to trample your rights if they think it's the best thing to do for you saddens me beyond words. Those of you who are old enough may remember a television commercial of a Native American looking out at a littered landscaping and crying. I feel like that man looking out on the littered landscape of freedom, trashed with vile ideas, with ignorance and apathy, with ineptitude. I look at the state of liberty in America. I look at that sacred fire of liberty guttering and going out, and a tear comes to my eye. Not only because if liberty falls in America, where do we go? But because it didn't have to happen. This was not a fait accompli. And even today, it is not a fait accompli. We can rekindle that sacred fire. We can build it so it is strong again, and a bonfire, a beacon of freedom and liberty to the entire world. But only if we correct our ignorance with education. If we read and study the Constitution, teach the rising generation to be free. If we replace our apathy with action, by holding our public servants accountable at all levels, by vetting our elected officers based on their fidelity to their oath to support the Constitution of the United States, and in many cases of the several states. Before we can rebuild the sacred fires of liberty, we must build a shield to protect it from going out. And that's how we do it. Now, before I head off to break, I want to tell you, after the break, I'm going to look at some examples of how liberty is dying in America. But I want to let you know, keeping our country healthy requires that we keep ourselves healthy. Now, whether you're like my wife and I that take a bunch of vitamins, or you're just not so much into that, it's important that we keep our bodies strong. And if you're like a lot of people, you don't like taking a fistful of pills. Well, HealthyCell.com has a product that makes that life easier. They've taken the vitamins that really haven't been changed, they haven't been upgraded since the 1930s. They've reinvented them to work at a cellular level to boost your immune system, help you sleep better, get better focus. And best of all, they can be absorbed through a gel. In other words, there's no pills to take. Just take the gel. You can do like I do and just take it in the morning with like breakfast, like a shooter. Or you can mix it into a drink or a smoothie. If you want to find out more, head to healthycell.com/outloud. You can find out all the different products they have. You can do one time or do subscriptions. But if you go to healthycell.com/outloud, you get 20% off your first order for being an America Out Loud listener. So check it out. Again, that's healthycell.com/outloud. And I'll be back right after this break.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses, as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
As we celebrate our five-year anniversary, America Out Loud has expanded its mission through a newly designed website with a host of new contributors. All carry a vibrant message of hope and survival for this country we love. AmericaOutloud.com. Together, we'll secure the future for generations to come.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. We're talking about the state of liberty in America, and sadly, the prognosis is not good. Now, there are plenty of examples. I want to take a look at a few of them before we finish up today. Let's start with a New York City psychiatrist who, in the middle of a Yale lecture, went on a racist tirade and actually expressed her desire to kill white people simply because they are white. Now, this is reported by the New York Post. Now, imagine that. You're going to a psychiatrist. You need assistance. There are times when people need someone to talk to. They need a professional person who can give them some help. And you find out that this psychiatrist is a hate-filled racist. There's no other way to describe it. I mean, during a lecture titled "The Psychopathic Problem of the White Mind," so you know it's racist already. She goes on, she, in this lecture, said that she dreams of unloading a revolver into the head of any white person that got in my way. And she said that when she did so, she would leave the scene of the crime with a bounce in her step. Tell me this is not a person with deep psychological issues. I mean deep psychological issues. A murderous rage for racial on a racial basis. This is the worst type of racist. And she's teaching young minds at Yale. And she's treating people with issues from who knows what, from maybe minor to serious. And she is a homicidal racist. Not much. She said she dreams of unloading a revival in the head of a white person, like any white person got in her way. If I were to stand up, if any of us were to stand up and say we dreamed of unloading a revolver into the head of anyone, we would be sent to a psychiatrist for treatment. Well, you know, before you go anywhere, realize she wants to do it simply because that person's white. How would you like to be walking around in New York City, meet this person on the street, because her picture was in has been in some of the articles, and wonder, is she going to pull out a revolver and put one between your eyes because you're white? If that isn't the one of the most disgusting, vile, racist statements, I don't know what is. And she is teaching it to our young people. At one point, she admitted to systematically cutting all ties with most of her white friends. She is a racist. And she's teaching the rising generation to be racist. Another recent article, this one I found in The Federalist, about a New York Times staffer. Now, first of all, at this point, I wouldn't use the New York Times to line a birdcage. The New York Times has become such a propagandistic rag as to be not worth the paper it's printed on. And it's stuff like this that proves our point. Besides the fact, let's look at all the times that the Times has lied to us, the amount of information the Times has hidden from us, and then we find that a member of the New York Times editorial board, while on an MSNBC program called Morning Joe, was horrified at seeing dozens of American flags on people's cars on Memorial Day. Memorial Day, the day we honor those who gave their lives to protect our liberty. And this board member, this Mara Gay, was horrified to see the American flag. Well, you know what, Ms. Gay? If you're horrified by the Stars and Stripes, if you're horrified by the thought of America, liberty, and freedom, why don't you head to North Korea? If you are horrified by the very idea of an American flag, better yet, you know where you'd be better suited? You'd be better suited to apartheid South Africa, Why? Because she goes on to say that she saw a separate America, that somehow we need to separate America from whiteness. No one has associated America with whiteness. You racist person. The first man to die in service of his country was a black man, and we honor him. At least I do. Now, were blacks treated poorly in colonial America? In many of the colonies, yes. But there were free black colonists. There were free black business owners. And the first man to take a temporary indentured servant into a lifetime indentured servant was one black man enslaving another black man. So listen, you little racist media whore. This is the type of nonsense that is throwing water on the sacred fire of liberty. To be disturbed by the American flag. If you hate America that much, why don't you leave? She says she's visiting a friend. She sees these flags and she was disturbed. She is disturbed. She has a mental issue. She is a, I don't know the actual medical term. I know she's a racist because she assumes that the American flag only means for white people. She forgets how many black men and women died in service of that flag. During the Civil War, during the First World War, during the Second World War, that have died in Desert Storm in Afghanistan to keep her free enough to walk around as a racist. If this is not her country, then why is she still here? And if this is her country, why must she turn everything into race? According to her own words, the reason why? Politics. She saw dozens and dozens of pickup trucks with bumper stickers against Biden and for Trump. Oh, dear God. Politics has been turned into a racial divide. Not by any actual racist acts. Actually, the only racist acts I've seen have pretty much been done by the Democrats. The history of the Democrats is a racist history, and they're reinstating it today. How dare you say that, Paul? They're for the black man. No, they seem to do everything they can to keep black people from actually progressing, from actually getting anywhere, from helping them with a leg up rather than a hand holding them into poverty. You can't say that, Paul. Yes, I can. I just did. What she wants, I don't know what she wants. But what she talks about is vile, disgusting racism. It's the same vile, disgusting racism that's led the psychiatrist to have murderous intent based on race. Her murderous intent seems to be more based on politics than race. How dare someone have a differing point? How dare someone disagree with Lord Almighty Biden? How dare someone support former President Trump? Is that what we've come to? We can't even disagree anymore without disgust or violence. It has gotten so bad. Representative Brooks from Alabama has alleged that Representative Swalwell, at least his subordinates, broke into his house, accosted his wife in order to serve him with a lawsuit. He said, quote, "Well, Swalwell finally did his job, served a complaint on his wife. Horrible, Swalwell teams committed a crime by unlawfully sneaking into my house and accosting my wife." criminal trespass, which according to Alabama code is a first degree criminal trespass is a year in jail and a $6,000 fine. Has it come to this? Has it come to this? Now, again, this is a claim of a politician, and we all know, how can you tell when a politician's lying? Well, their lips are moving. Swalwell did deny, or at least his attorney denied the allegations. He said that the process server served the papers on Mr. Brooks's wife following federal rules. But is anyone else concerned about this? See, either you have a political operative of one party trespassing, breaking, and entering onto a member of the party of the team, or you have a member of one party lying about the actions of another party simply because of party. Where have we heard this before? Going back to George Washington again, in his farewell address, the alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural to party dissension, is itself a frightful despotism. It's one thing to have philosophical disagreements and to gather with others that agree with you to promote your cause. It's quite another to let those disagreements lead to crimes. Because either someone for Mr. Swalwell's team committed a crime when they served the papers, or Mr. Brooks committed a crime when he falsely accused them of committing a crime. That's not liberty in America. That's tyranny in America. And if you think we just have to get through this mess and things will go back to normal, it doesn't work that way. There's a Massachusetts high school. This is according to the Federalist. In a 10th grade history class, gave children, the students, the task to highlight the effects that quote-unquote, systemic racism had on George Floyd's life. Now, were there instances, did George Floyd have a difficult life? It certainly didn't end very well. The history doesn't show it to be very well. Was there racism in George Floyd's life? Quite possibly. Was it systemic? Were there laws that said you must treat people of color differently? Usually it's laws that say you must give them extra opportunities. And now we have schools telling our children that the problem is systemic racism. It couldn't possibly be the criminal charges against Mr. Floyd. It couldn't possibly be a person, an officer who went beyond his call. And the fact that in the case against Officer Chauvin, the rationale of racism was never brought up. Racism in the charge against Mr. Chauvin, in the trial, was even in the sentencing, the racism was never brought up, which tends you to believe if they believed that Officer Chauvin murdered Mr. Floyd because of the color of his skin, I think that would be on the prosecution's case, don't you think? If it's not there, then the question is, was it racially motivated or not? Because if you have zero evidence, which I've seen zero evidence that it was prompted by racism, you basically are lying to children in Massachusetts by giving them the impression that it was racism that led to the death of George Floyd. Not an overzealous cop. And certainly not the bad actions of Mr. Floyd. That didn't contribute to it at all. Now, according to the Parents Defending Education, they're trying to combat this idea of state-sanctioned racism when the only state-sanctioned racism I have seen in my life, well, the second half of my life. I was born in the 1960s, so I was too young to remember a lot of what went on. But since the 1970s and 80s, the only state-sanctioned racism I've seen are things like affirmative action, where your race gets you something, where black people get something simply for being black. Students are told that Mr. Floyd was born with two strikes against him because of a racism that they cannot find any laws that support. But then again, to a racist, everything that happened to Mr. Floyd was racism. If he got a ticket for speeding, it was racism. If he got bad grades in school, it was racism. And now, our schools are indoctrinating our children to be racists. And it's not just government. Ever heard of this little company called Lockheed Martin? Yeah, they build airplanes, right? They build a lot of things. They're a big defense company. And they sent more than 1,000 top employees through a white privilege training class. They did a 3-day white men's caucus. Interesting, they sent white males to this. Now we have corporations teaching their employees to be racist. I hate racism. I grew up, I was born in New York City. I lived my first 11 years of my life in Chelsea, Manhattan. My neighborhood was 49% black, 49% Puerto Rican, and 2% everything else, including me. And you know what? When I grew up, I didn't care. I had black friends, white friends, Puerto Rican friends, Chinese friends. I didn't care. And now the fact that I don't care about the color of a person's skin, people are trying to tell me I'm racist because I don't care. How can liberty thrive in America when anyone is judged by the color of their skin rather than the content of their character? Judged by how they look rather than what they do? How? If you're an employee at Lockheed Martin, how can you get a fair break knowing that Lockheed Martin judges you by the color of your skin rather than the work that you do? How? How can liberty survive in America if we return to judging people by the color of their skin? It was some of the darkest parts of American history when we judged people by the color of their skin, and now we're doing it again. Now, I grew up, let's say that, I grew up when I was young in New York City. We didn't have segregation in New York City. Now, I was aware that there was segregation in other places, but in New York City, we didn't have segregation. And when I moved to upstate New York, when I went to school with one black family, I didn't mind. I was just as cordial with those kids as everybody else. But today, they'd be judged differently. We are instituting systemic racism when we have laws and corporate policies that are teaching our families, our young people, even training us to look at people by the color of their skin. Which, by the way, is the definition of racism. Now, if there are racist laws, I mean actual racist laws, where are they? For all the claims of systemic racism, why does nobody show me a law that says you must treat someone differently because of the color of their skin? Because they don't exist. It is a vile piece of American history that we have gotten past that these lunatics are trying to bring back. Where is liberty in America when psychiatrists are lauded and given speaking opportunities at our colleges and universities for fantasizing about shooting white people? Where is liberty in America when people are disturbed by seeing dozens of American flags? And I wonder if she saw an American flag on a car with a Biden 2020 bumper sticker, would that bother her? Where is liberty in America when disagreement can be met by desires for violence? It can't. Liberty means I must allow you to be different. I may not like it. I might find it disgusting. I must allow it until you hurt someone. Until you deprive someone of a fundamental right, a right protected by law and constitution. So legally, the New York psychiatrist, she can fantasize about shooting white people all day long until she actually either starts shooting white people or encourages others to do so. To me, she's sick. She's twisted. She needs a psychiatrist. But she can fantasize about shooting white people as long as it just remains a fantasy. If that New York Times editorial board staffer is disgusted, disturbed by the sight of American flags, okay, she can do that. Up until the point that she tells other people, you cannot put out American flags. Or you can't have pro-Trump bumper stickers. Or, as certain people in Congress have said, if you supported Trump, you should be removed from your committee's posts, possibly even removed from Congress for daring to support the former president. See, those ideas, there's a relatively short jump from fantasizing about shooting white people and rounding them up, from being disturbed by the sight of the red, white, and blue, and shutting people down, punishing them for showing their devotion to those who gave their lives for them. For lying about either breaking into a home or the service of legal papers. After decades of strife and fighting to remove segregation, to remove race as a determining factor in how you treat someone, we are restoring it to America. Well, maybe not we are, but we're allowing it. I refuse to judge anybody by the color of their skin. I refuse. I reject anybody's consideration of skin color above character. Categorically and with all the power I have. I will rage against the dying of the light of liberty, whether that be the imposition of racism, which denies the liberty of all people, whether that be the violation of law for political ends. I will allow this psychiatrist her perverted fantasies as long as they remain fantasies. But as soon as they try to enforce them in any way, I will stand against the dying of the light of liberty. Will you? Will you? Captain John Parker said, stand your ground. Well, it's about time the American people stand. That we stop looking for someone else to take care of our problems for us. We, the people, created the Constitution through our states. It's about time we enforce it. As Captain Parker said, don't fire unless fired upon. I'm not talking about violence. It is the socialist, the Marxist, the tyrant that is pushing for violence. The BLM, the Antifa, they use violence. But if you come for me, I am more than willing to defend myself. When will the American people stand for that? If those who want to tear apart this nation based on race, based on class, based on the just desire to be free, if they want a war, let it begin here. I would much rather fight that war while we still can at the ballot box and in the public square than have my daughter have to fight it on the battlefield. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Don't sit passively and let it happen. And if you want to find out more about my shows or all the other podcasts, please go to AmericaOutLoud.com. Look under our shows, you'll find the Constitution Study, and check out some of the other great programs on America Out Loud. And come back here next time for the Constitution Study.
Maybe you'll stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.